Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are back today to talk about another American album, and kind of an unusual one, a very popular one, but sort of unusual because it was released late in the Beatles' career, and after you'd thought, you know, we had done our discussion about Yesterday and Today, and we talked about some of the weird stuff in the American albums, and that was kind of the last one for a while. Well, then here comes the Beatles again, or is it Hey Jude, or what is yeah. going on here in February of 1970? So that's going to be the subject of our podcast today, is a look at and a discussion about the February 1970 American and then other parts of the world album Hey Jude or the Beatles Again. So what have you thought about this album before talking about it?
Well, Dave, much similar to the I think the last discussion we had, and it's going to be a running theme with all the American albums, is I hadn't really listened to any of the American versions of these albums that much at all. Was probably most aware of this one just because of the really cool cover.
Totally, yes.
Of which I had one of those stretchy, long posters up on my wall for many a year as a younger man. And I find that to be the coolest poster. And since then, I've woefully regretted not like putting that in like a custom frame or something. It would be on my wall right now, but probably behind me in this shot if I had my druthers. But I just absolutely love that album cover. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about the album cover.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
But as far as the collection of songs, I had never listened to them in this order. Somewhat odd collection of songs if you look at it, and then it doesn't, I don't know about you, but on repeated listenings this week, it didn't really play that odd to me. It just seemed like fine.
Yeah, it sort of worked because I mean, the part of it is because the songs are really, I guess they are presented chronologically. So it kind of helps give you a progression of the music on it. Before we get into the songs, I guess we can talk about the conception of this album. And it's basically, to quote you, you like to talk about some of the recent deluxe, super deluxe editions of things as money grabs. Yeah. And this album was basically a money grab. It was kind of for Alan Klein to strut his stuff and to kind of show the Beatles, look how much money I can get you here. We're going to make this compilation album and get you 69 cents on a dollar and make things better. So what do you think about the history of this album or the story?
Well, it does sort of make sense on a couple of levels. One, they did have a contract with a record company who wants Beatles records.
Yeah.
So they also had a group that was not going to make any more records. So to some extent, they had to figure out some way to put together something. And so I guess what they did was they got a collection of they got a group of people together, and they're like, okay, write down all the stuff that hasn't been on a actual official U.S. release yet.
Yeah.
And then they put together 10 of them instead of all of them, which
there's a lot more. Maybe, yeah.
Would it make maybe more sense? Well, I'm sure we'll get it, rattle off the ones that didn't make the album that were still unreleased until the, I don't know if you remember Beatles Rarities.
There might be a
Beatles Rarities. The rest of them would come out. So,
Yeah.
But the other thing that they did discount it a little bit, I guess, when it came out, it wasn't at full price. So that's good, and I'm sure that really helped sales, and this sold really well, I guess, over 3 million copies.
Yeah, it was a big seller. This is kind of funny, just a little history lesson here. So Abbey Road, when it was released, cost $6.98, and they thought, well, could we release this compilation album at the same price? And then, like you said, they thought, no, it's not really fair. So they lowered it to $5.98 because they thought, well, many Beatle fans may have had these already with singles or getting them other ways. So, you know, a dollar here and there at that time. Kind of interesting to think that a album would cost $6.98. Now, when you go buy a vinyl album, it's like $30. So.
Yeah, I just paid $37 for the clear vinyl, two-disc, heavyweight Soupy and Stevens
album. So I'd be happy to pay $5.98 or even $6.98 in this case.
Yeah.
But so the price of the album kind of makes sense. It's also a kind of a good way to drum up some more sales on recent hits. Because, like, you know, the album's Hey Jude, the biggest selling Beatles single. Well, let's put that on an album so more people can buy it. And then other singles like Revolution, Lady Madonna, Ballad of John Yoko, all on there too. A good place to get all of them in one place.
Now, in the U.S., this came out before Let It Be. Is
right.
that correct?
Right.
And so one interesting thing to note is that it sort of signaled, Don't Let Me Down, that's going to be on our, it's going to be part of that Let It Be project, but it's not going to be on that album.
No. No, and that goes to some of the song choices on here that are kind of, unusual the way they put it together, but
yeah,
it was still, you know, the way I think about it now, before the CDs came out, this is kind of like a precursor to Past Masters, because you've got some of the, like, especially Past Masters 2 has a lot of these tunes on it. And so that's, you don't really need Hey Jude anymore because of that. But I don't know, it's still kind of a cool thing. And as people have noted, in 2014, it did get a CD release when they released the American Beatles catalog on the box set, the U.S. album. So you can still get it if you want it. But also, we were talking before the recording here, you had mentioned that there are some different mixes on this album too. Then that was also something new, maybe, that people could get.
Well, yeah, you remember when we were talking about, was it Yesterday and Today, where we were talking about those? What was it called? Duophonic?
Duophonic, yeah, those funky stereo mixes for, like, I'm Only Sleeping and those some of the Revolver tunes. Yeah.
Yeah. So by the time of this album coming out, they're like, okay, this is all stereo now. This is all, like, real stereo. So we need, and then they looked at it and they're like, okay, well, a lot of these don't have proper stereo mixes at all.
Yeah.
So this was the first appearance of stereo mixes, and they were prepared by George Martin himself.
Mm-hmm.
In 1969, for the following: Rain, Lady Madonna, Revolution, and Hey Jude. So,
do you think that people would have known about the different mixes, or just thought, "Oh, it's just I want these songs"? Or,
well, maybe a stereo, like a person who has a stereo and was an audiophile.
Yeah, back that's
then.
True.
You know, I'm sure there's always been audiophiles. So, you know, and even if it's not on the day of release, then in the 70s, I'm sure people got more and more into collecting and going back and collecting stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this would have been a popular item. Also, I guess both Can't Buy Me Love and I Should Have Known Better were previously mixed for stereo for A Hard Day's Night. And stereo mixes for Paperback Writer were made back in 1966. For that,
mm-hmm.
a collection of Beatles oldies things. So they had they had all of the stereo mixes on this, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So I mean, you get some different sounds here on this album that you couldn't have gotten up to that point. So maybe that gives it some value. You want to talk about flaws first, or we'll talk about the album? Well, maybe we should get the song listing, and then we can kind of talk about flaws if you want.
Yeah, let's get the song listing. So rattle us off the track list here.
All right. So we start out with Can't Buy Me Love, Should Have Known Better. So two Hard Day's Night tunes. Paperback Writer and Rain. So that single. Lady Madonna and Revolution. The Inner Light's not on here, interestingly. Hey Jude, Old Brown. Let me flip it over. Hey Jude, Old Brown Shoe. Don't Let Me Down, and The Ballad of John and Yoko. So a whopping 10 songs on this, and that leads to a big flaw.
Well, if they would have put those other tracks that were left off that hadn't also been on other Beatles albums, then now you're talking to the completist like me. But would it have been too weird to have following Misery, There's a Place, From Me to You, Sleep Dick, which I like, who cares? Seriously. A Hard Day's Night, I'm Down, and Inner Light. Were they just trying to be like, okay, well, let's play earlier tunes, but not too early?
Yeah.
Because then I think it's crazy how we talk about this too, because it's the same band. But we act like, oh, the 1964 or 1963 Misery.
Different band, different.
Not the same band at all than the Inner Light.
Right, right.
It's obviously a testament to how amazing they were in the growth and development, but mm-hmm. also a little bit crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, it's true. Misery to Ballad of John Yoko. Okay. That's quite a development. Yeah, I mean, looking at that list that you mentioned, I do think The Inner Light probably could have been on here because you've got other A and B sides of singles. So you have, like I said, Paperback Writer and Rain, Don't Let Me Down, Ballad of John Yoko, Old Brown Shoe. You kind of have Hey Jude, Revolution. So you could put The Inner Light, or would that be too weird? I don't know.
I'm thinking and squeeze I'm Down in The Inner Light on here at the very least.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Maybe leaving off some of those early ones, considering they were probably, I don't know, already on some other collection or something. But yeah. I guess all of these would end up, like we said, on other releases.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. And that, I think that's one of the only flaw really to me is the fact that it's so short. And that seems to be a theme of these American albums. That Yesterday and Today was really short. I think the Beatles' second album, which we've had a request by a couple listeners to dig into that one. So we'll maybe make that one our next American album. But that one, I think, is barely 28 minutes. I think it's really short. And this one's only 33 and a half minutes or something. So you could definitely fit I'm Down and The Inner Light on there. And it would still be a reasonable amount. So. But I think overall it does listen. It's a pretty good listen.
Yeah, I was expecting to be more jarred than I was.
Yeah.
And it just seemed kind of seamless to me.
Like, yeah.
I was in it. Particularly like the first, the first two are really peppy Hard Day's Night songs.
Yeah.
And they don't sound that too far away from Paperback Writer and Rain.
Right.
It just kind of seemed sort of seamless, I felt like. And then before you know it, you're into the late period.
Yeah. Rain and Paperback Writer are kind of the transitional songs maybe on the album that then sort of take you to the later stuff. But it does seem like pretty well sequenced. I was thinking like Can't Buy Me Love is a great opening of an album. Because it's just one that grabs you right away. It's one of those, you know, like I Saw Her Standing There or something that just grabs you, and it's just Paul singing. So
I read on maybe one of the cassette releases or something that they accidentally got sides A and B flip-flopped because they just assumed that Hey Jude was the title of the album, that Hey Jude was the first song. Little they apparently paid attention to what the hell was going on.
Yeah. And that part of that goes to the title of the, like you were just saying. So it wasn't originally called Hey Jude. So it was originally called The Beatles Again, which you can find copies of. There aren't, it's not as many, but it was decided that it would be called The Beatles Again. And they'd prepared that, but then they thought it was somewhat sarcastic title. Like, here they are. Again. And then they'll just call it Hey Jude, because it was the special first appearance in stereo and kind of the big hit. So I don't know. Do you like The Beatles Again as a title or
no?
No.
Real bad.
Real bad.
You can see pictures too of like a couple of the photos, like the back photo where they have the bush in the background is like got Beatles Again over it. It looks terrible.
It was a good marketing move on that Beatles.com.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And another thing, and this kind of starts us talking about the cover. No title on the cover.
Right.
Very similarly to Abbey Road, which people would have just purchased as well. So I think that was a good move, and such a great picture, such a iconic picture of them on the balcony. What, 2 days later, there was the last time they'd be all in the studio together. So it's right at the end of the Beatles reign. And I think all of the pictures are awesome. I see Dave, by the way, is wearing his big John Lennon hat.
Yeah,
for the recording of this.
Yes, this I actually then I black. Put it onto the statue right next
That's
to
right.
it. So.
Yeah. The headphones wouldn't get on.
Yeah, I might get a little bit of audio issues. Yeah, I have to say this was the Beatles' last photo session as a group, and it is really striking. I think these photos, both the front and the back, at John's house at Tittenhurst Park, are really stunning, stunning photos, and they don't look very happy. I have to say that they look like they're really ready to check out, but especially the back. I like the back photo because both Ringo and George are standing and they have these scarves on, and they both look like, you talking to me, kind of real badass looking, like we're not going to put up with anything. And John's on the floor, on the ground, and Paul's on the ground, and I don't know, it just resonates hipness, and just like, we are the badass Beatles, no one's better than us and no one ever will be.
Yeah, I've always thought of it as very cool, and they all look so cool, and you know, now looking at it, are you a little bit saddened by it, knowing what it is? Sure. But I always just loved the picture so much, and like I said, I bought that poster, and really wish I still had that poster. So,
well, you can maybe find that hat, so you can get a John Lennon hat.
And then the design of the back cover is pretty cool too, because it's got that picture is like a little bit smaller; it's not full size. And then you've got just the track listing there in black at the bottom.
In the wrong order, by the way.
Oh,
yeah. The order here is Hey Jude, Revolution, Paperback Writer, I Should Have Known Better, Lady Madonna, Can't Buy Me Love, Don't Let Me Down, Ballad of John and Yoko, Rain, and Old Brown Shoe.
That's just like, here are the songs you'll see on this album.
Yeah.
This, it's not going to be in this order, but
no,
there you go.
They're there. Yeah, yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
But
it looks cool.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, you know, are the Beatles represented well? There's no Ringo on here, but George has Old Brown Shoe, kind of a cool choice. Like I said, I think it's a good listen overall.
I think this would have continued to be a must-own until probably the when they did the Red and Blue albums.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at that point, this is completely superfluous.
Yeah, you got all
and
these
then
songs.
Yeah, exactly. And then for the generation of fan like us who grew up on the CDs and the official English releases being our touchstones rather than US releases, for the US fan who are older than, say, 50, I'm sure these still have value both emotionally and, you know, probably still in their collection.
Yeah.
Whereas for the younger fan like us that bought the CDs first,
you know,
do you ever take the old CDs out for a spin, Dave? I don't think so, right?
But, no, I still have them. I mean,
not in this day and age.
No, I still have them. I should pull one out and just check it out. My first CD ever was Magical Mystery Tour, so I still have it, and maybe I should pull that out and listen to it sometime and see the 1987 sound. But yeah, there is a lot of nostalgia value in these recordings. It is worth noting also that this album, like you said at the beginning of our talk, was very successful, and that it pushed to number two under Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water, which was number one. So it was pretty popular. I mean, for four straight weeks at number two, and the Billboard top 10 for 11 weeks, competing with McCartney and Abbey Road. So it was pretty successful album, which for a good money grab. Alan Klein seemed to have his, he seemed to have his thoughts right on the money for this, literally for this one.
Yeah. He, what a great job Alan Klein did.
Alan Klein. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. But a cool album. And I think, yeah, it's a good listen and it's a good cover. So.
Yeah. I always pick it up at the, in a record shop, if I see it, and take a nice look at it. Yeah. And then I end up not buying it. But one of these days I'm gonna buy it just to put it in a frame, and put it back up on my wall, and kind of recreate the feeling of having that cool ass poster. Which I like. If we've taken anything from today's episode, it's that I regret losing it.
I know. Yeah, maybe you can find it somewhere. I know. But yeah, it goes well on the wall.
Oh, and there I also have a visual here of the Apple 8-track stereo.
Ooh, there's a collector's
this
item
on this BeatlesBooks.com Hey Jude album.
Mm-hmm. Good site, by the way.
Good site. A lot of nice information here. A nice little write up on Hey Jude. So I direct people to that if they want further reading on Hey Jude and on the tracks that were left off, and
yeah,
the full description of the cover art and the picture and a lot of cool pictures.
Yeah,
it has the picture of the 8-track.
Yeah,
have an 8-track or listen to 8-tracks or anything?
Never had 8-track player. I know people had them in their cars. I never had one. I only had LPs and cassettes, and so I didn't know. Did you have 8-tracks?
Oh yeah, we had them around, and one of my dad's Cadillac had a Glenn Miller 8-track that got stuck in there. So it was always either nothing or Glenn Miller.
Or
which
in
is
the mood.
Fine.
Yeah.
At least it was Glenn Miller. If it
That's
was
true.
Like, you know, I mean, so it was like
Deep Purple or something.
Exactly. Or, the same Cat Stevens album.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Would have not been as cool, but nothing against Stevens, but you know, it's like at least it made for a good atmosphere of like, oh, this is the old timey
call. That's
you know,
true.
So. But we had 8-tracks, and I definitely have a 8-track sitting around somewhere that's a pinups.
Ooh.
David Bowie pinups. So that's pretty cool. And we had some other ones too, and they're just so weird because it would be even this one. It's Rain Part One, and then it'll click over, and then it'll be Rain Part Two.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle of Rain, it'll start to fade, and then you'll be like, "Oh, that's the end of Rain," and then it'll go click click, and then it'll fade back up.
Yeah.
So you're missing a little bit of the song there where it faded down, up. It's just like very weird.
What a strange concept.
Yeah, it just did not. It was like a foolish thing, but. 8-track stereo.
Yeah, gotta love it. Well, it's been fun to look at this album, and we'll keep digging into these American albums for everybody, because I know there's been a lot of interest, and this is a good one. Definitely worth making a playlist. You try making a playlist if you don't want to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, excellent. Well, thanks for listening as always, and we'll be back at you soon with another episode.